FireTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken, Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe. It's really that easy. And if you'd like to follow the channel, you can do that there too. Or if you just want to hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. We got stuff to talk about. We have stuff for you to download and all that fun stuff.
It's been an interesting week in the world of wrestling. I will say that. They have given us things to discuss.
They have given us things to discuss, but we needed to get it out of the way at the top, the forefront, and at the beginning. You go to RackRadioShow.com right now, and you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews Superstar WWE Superstar Handbook from our good friends at DK Publishing and Jake Black.
It's an awesome book.
Our review is available right now for download. And next week, we have a special review of the Rack Extra for the Dr. Disrespect book.
That's right. They actually let us review Doc's book. It's amazing, and I love it so much. And hopefully you'll love it too. But yeah, please go buy Jake's book. Please go check it out. It's an awesome little handbook with all the facts that you ever could ever need for WWE Superstars. So please, please, please go buy it. It's available on Amazon. He tweeted a link about it. So please go check it out. But yeah, so we have a lot of really big stories that we need to talk about this week. This is brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And then we're also going to be talking Fastlane later in the show. And yes, don't worry, chat. We will be discussing the satanic samur that is Bray Wyatt.
We'll be talking about him.
I have opinions.
We're probably going to mainly focus on him.
Because that bastard teased me this week, and not in a good way. Actually, in a really good way, but in a really bad way, because it just sent my head into a place it didn't need to go. But so we'll be discussing that later.
Because he is back.
He's back! And he looks like a marshmallow.
And he's not Bo Dallas.
I mean, I'm just...
No.
Okay, I'm just going to say this now.
No.
No, it's my show. I can say it.
No.
I'm just going to throw this out here now. Like, realistically, you could stick Bo Dallas in the Fiend costume, put a little pillow in the belly if he's not of the same stature as Bray, and you could technically have them both in the same place at the same time.
No.
You could do it. Nobody would know.
No.
And you could totally make the Fiend and Bray Wyatt two separate people.
No.
Why can't I have this? Why will nobody let me have this?
Cause.
But it's a good thought.
No!
It's my show and I'm getting overruled.
No!
I did not bribe him with cookies. He's just...
They were satanic cookies, Brent. You're now possessed. I hope you're happy.
I did not offer him any cookies.
You sold your soul for cookies.
He got fake cookies. They weren't for me.
He took cookies from strangers?
He took cookies from strangers, yeah.
Brent! How could you? How could you take cookies from strangers? Anyway, alright, let's get into the news brought to you by mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. We're just gonna get it out of the way. So, you know, because it's a big story to me. It's a well-deserved story. It makes your heart sing. This week, actually yesterday, technically, Glenn Jacobs, Kane, the mayor of Knoxville, or Knox County, appeared on The Bump, where he was informed by his TV brother, who it happened to be Undertaker's birthday, that Kane is going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. And it was a very sweet, wholesome, melt your eyeballs moment, because Kane became overcome in the TV interview for a second, because he's like, oh my god, for real? And Taker's like trying to be all like,
yeah, bud.
Staunch face.
Yeah, bud, you did it. You did it. You're awesome.
And Taker's just like, I'm going to cry with you. Hold on. Damn onions. But yeah, it's all over the social media if you want to go check it out. But it's definitely well-deserved, definitely well-earned, and definitely about time. Please, God, and WWE, if you are in the sound of my voice, which you're probably not, but if you are, please convince Mark Calaway, not that it will take that much convincing, to induct Kane. Please let that happen. Anybody else would be fine too, but I feel like it should be Taker. But it's obviously Kane's choice. But the fact that they had Taker tell him was really sweet.
It was.
So congratulations to Kane.
Big week for Kane.
Yes, because he also announced that he's going to be seeking re-election as the mayor of Knox County. This will be his second and I believe final term, as they have term limits. So we'll see where he goes if he gets reelected, and we'll see where he goes if he doesn't get reelected. But best of luck to him. If you're in Knox County, vote for Kane if you want. Another big week for somebody was the Great Khali. He had a week almost as big as he was, because he was also announced that he's going into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him.
Yeah.
He was very excited.
He was very excited. One other Hall of Fame note really quick. Batista will not be going in this year.
Yeah, there was a scheduling conflict, and so Batista cannot attend the ceremony, and therefore he asked WWE if they could defer him for a year to see if they can work it out where he can be there next year, because he wants to be there to thank the fans and thank all his peers in person versus doing it virtually or not being there at all. So he asked out of respect if he could go in another year, and they very graciously allowed him to do that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. It's like that, yeah, you should be there. You should want to be there, so the fact that he does.
He's coming in as the headliner. He wants to wrap up his career correctly, so you do it the right way.
Yeah, he's showing respect, and you can't blame him for that.
Nope.
So, I don't have a good transition for that. Got announced this week, also sticking with WWE, that WWE is officially moving to the Yuengling Center for the Thunderdome after WrestleMania. They are pre-taping the final Raw and SmackDown before WrestleMania, because they have to get the heck out of the Thunderdome because their lease is up.
They have to get out by April 2nd.
Yeah, so they will...
Because baseball's back.
Ding! So they will be moving to their new home post-WrestleMania, and it should be relatively the same. I'm not anticipating a lot of changes.
You will not even notice the difference.
Nope. We didn't notice a difference the first time. We probably won't notice a difference the second time.
No, the only thing that'll change is the backstage area.
Pretty much. Speaking of WrestleMania, it got announced who's hosting WrestleMania with...
Tell me something, brother.
A little bit of backlash. There's a little egg on some people's faces. Because the wonderful Titus O'Neil will be hosting WrestleMania, and joining him will be one Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Which, not, I'm sorry, not the best choice. I'm sure he has reformed himself, and I'm sure he's moved past the accusations, and maybe this is part of the reforming process. I don't know. And I understand that he's local to Tampa. Like, I understand all of those factors, right? But maybe not the best choice. You had Shawn Michaels. You could have booked Shawn Michaels. You could have booked The Undertaker, because he's probably going to be there. And he would probably do it with a smile on his face, because he gets to be a part of WrestleMania.
But it's Hogan, brother. What you going to do, brother?
I'm sorry. No disrespect to Hulk Hogan, but just given everything that's happened in the last few years, at least to me, he does not carry the same level of clout that he once did.
No, he doesn't. And it's the easiest name to get under all the circumstances.
I know that, but it doesn't feel like it's a positive choice. But it's the choice that they made, and so we're gonna go with it. So,
Brother.
They could have gotten Dexter Lumis, I'm just saying.
They could not. Dexter Lumis would not be the host of WrestleMania.
But it would be awesome. You could just awkwardly stare into the camera.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, sticking with WWE, there have been a lot of rumors.
Rumors and speculation.
Surrounding Charlotte.
Woo!
And what's going on with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell you with certainty that Andrade has officially been released by WWE. He was released with a no-compete clause, so he can go anywhere he wants.
Without a no-compete clause.
I'm sorry, without a no-compete clause. So he can go anywhere he wants, and he can work anywhere he wants. So I think the speculation with him is that he's probably heading back to Mexico, and he's going to work in Mexico.
Probably CMLL or somewhere, and go from there.
Yeah, which means he could turn up other places.
They don't need him.
But he could. And this led to a lot of speculation around Charlotte, and a lot of rumors flying. The fact that somebody got a fanfiction-based rumor where basically WWE made Charlotte pick between Andrade and doing WrestleMania, somebody got that over and got the internet to believe that, I'm sitting here just laughing.
Thank you, 4chan. You did something for the world, I guess? I don't know.
You made the week entertaining. But basically there was like speculation that Charlotte threatened to quit unless Andrade got released, you know, that they basically told her you have to pick between WrestleMania and, Andrade. And all of this is leading up to why she's not there and that she's angry at WWE or WWE's angry at her. And the speculation kind of got fueled even further because she was pulled from Monday Night Raw right when all of this was at its height. And she very quickly provided us with a simple explanation as to why she's not been there. Why, you know, she's sort of been quiet. Charlotte Flair tested positive for COVID-19. And she's at home resting. So, nobody's mad.
There's no hard feelings. It is what it is. She has COVID.
Yeah, so hopefully she feels better and she recovers very quickly. I think she's having minimal symptoms, but she is at home quarantining and recovering. So best of luck to her as she recovers.
Indeed.
And we hinted at the other company. Now we're going to talk about the other company, and that is AEW. And it got announced that AEW is getting another TV show. But it's not a wrestling show. It's a reality show that's going to feature the Rhodes family. So Cody, Brandy, Dustin, and his family.
It's just, hold on, Albert, I can read it to you.
Well, okay, fine.
Because we have a fancy thing.
We have a fancy thing?
TNT has ordered a new unscripted series, Rhodes to the Top, from Warner Brothers Unscripted Television, in association with Shed Media, that will go inside the lives of Cody and Brandy as they navigate their growing family while building AEW's global wrestling empire. Each 30-minute episode will take viewers behind the scenes as the powerhouse couple manage their ever-busier lives inside and outside the ring, all while surrounded by a colorful and often hilarious motley crew of wrestlers, family, and friends who both support and test them at every turn. Married in 2013, Cody and Brandy have been on an unprecedented path to wrestling greatness. But will now have to face their newest and possibly biggest challenge yet.
Parenthood.
Yeah, it didn't say the word parenthood, but yeah.
That's what it implies, is running a company while being parents.
Yeah.
That's the implication. But yeah, no, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, it was more of the correction. It's based around Cody and Brandy, not Dustin.
Well, he's going to be a part of it.
Well, yeah, he's family, but he's not the main focus. It's focusing on Cody and Brandy.
But he'll be in it a lot, I bet.
Look inside the lives of the AEW power couple, Cody and Brandy Rhodes, as they add a new chapter and member to the Rhodes family legacy. Yep, it's a thing. Unscripted is how they're calling it. Mm-hmm. Every reality show is scripted. Especially when they put you in scenarios. Just saying. Anyway, what else?
So, an interesting story broke today.
Uh-huh.
Impact is making moves.
Making million-dollar moves.
So, there was a rumor going around that at some point, NXT is going to move to Tuesdays. This is in anticipation of USA getting the NHL, and they don't want to preempt NXT for the NHL, so they're going to move their time slot to a different date and time, which happened to be Tuesdays, to compensate for the fact that they're getting something else that's going to fill that place. Well, Impact happens to be on the same time on Tuesdays. NXT is supposedly going to. But no announcement has been made, and...
Though it is on the internal schedule.
It is on the internal schedule. No announcement has been officially made because the deal is not done. And so Impact decided not to wait. Impact decided that, you know what, we're just gonna go ahead and move.
Yep.
So they announced that they are moving to Thursdays at 8 p.m.,
Impact Wrestling confirmed that its weekly flagship TV show Impact will return to its traditional Thursday night time slot beginning April 8th. The fastest paced show in professional wrestling will now air at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 Pacific each and every Thursday on Access. The return of Impact to its traditional night will be marked by a massive main event. The inaugural Impact on Thursday, April 8th will feature the Impact match debut of All Elite Wrestling's world champion Kenny Omega, who teams with the Good Brother, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. That should be said, Good Brothers. In a six-man main event against reigning Impact World Champion Rich Swann, former two-time Impact World Champion Eddie Edwards, and former X Division Champion Willie Mack. Leading into Impact every Thursday night will be Before the Impact, an hour-long show on Access TV starting at 7 p.m. Eastern.
So good stuff. They also announced that they will be doing a pay-per-view Sunday, April 25th. They moved it. It's going to be the Rebellion pay-per-view.
It was supposed to be on April 24th, but because there's a UFC event, they've moved it to the 25th, just like how they were going up against WrestleMania for an internet pay-per-view. That's now airing before WrestleMania.
Convenient how that happens.
Convenient. Blame Brents?
Blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
All right, so NXT referee Tom Caster had successful bicep surgery because he tore his bicep. So hopefully he's feeling better.
Wait, we went through these last week.
So do we not actually have Blame Brents?
We don't, and we'll do this.
Hashtag blame Brent.
You never clear them off the sheet.
Well, you looked at the sheet too.
Just now I did. Anyway, so that was a blame Brent.
Ding! He had successful surgery. That's the update. He's feeling better. He's good. Okay, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
I looked at names and went, wait a minute.
Wait
a minute. We read those last week. Brent didn't do any injuries this week, so good for him. Good for him. All right, so the show opened with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez taking on Zoe Stark and the NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai.
This was good. This is really, really good. I enjoyed this quite a bit. It was a nice little setup for Io and Raquel to continue that feud and build towards the solo match between them. And yeah, I thought this was really... really well done. They got a lot of time, too, which was nice.
They got about 12 minutes. It was a pretty good match. Raquel got the win, sending a message. She and Shirai got into each other's faces. Dakota was a distraction, and then Raquel made sure Io felt stuff, even though she did not break the table.
Yeah, that hurt. You know that hurt.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we saw footage, what happened earlier this week, where Kyle was training and Adam Cole barged into the gym and they were had to be pulled apart. So Mackenzie was trying to interview Kyle and Roderick showed up, who was trying to offer Kyle some advice, offered to help him kick Adam Cole's ass. Kyle's like, I appreciate it, but the issue's between me and him. And Roderick was like, okay. You both can go to hell.
So nobody gets Roderick in the divorce.
Nope.
Okay, I just need to talk about this because I appreciate the level of detail this had of them wanting to murder each other. Because last week we had Kyle try to run Adam over in a car.
We did, yes.
This week we have Adam go to Kyle's jiu-jitsu, I believe,
yep.
studio. And the two of them get into a fight where they're yelling and screaming and cursing at each other as they're trying to beat the ever-living hell out of each other.
Yes.
Like, that is commitment. Yes. That you're, like, so pissed that you track somebody down and you try to beat them up. Also, Kyle's takedown was just, yes. Like, it sounded great. But yeah, I appreciate this level of storytelling. That they are that pissed at each other, they are that bitter, they're that angry that they're going to places outside of work to find each other so they can settle this. Like, they cannot wait. They can't settle this in the ring. Oh, no. No, no. It's like, I know you so well. I know your goddamn schedule, and I'm going to show up to your jiu-jitsu lesson to beat your ass. Like, that is commitment, and I appreciate it a lot. William Regal didn't appreciate it. He was a little pissed. But this was just great. And then you have Roddy, who's done playing the peacekeeper, but he's trying to help Kyle because he's still on sides with Kyle. And Kyle's like, yeah, no. Which is, like, so smart. Because he's like, I can't trust you. I honestly don't need you. This is between him and I. This isn't between you and him. Or the three of us. This is between him and me. He didn't kick you, he kicked me. Well, actually, he did technically
kick
Roddy.
He kicked both of them, but yeah.
But Roddy was later.
Yeah. I got dibs first.
Yeah, Kyle gets Adam first. This is what I feel like. This feels like the rehash of the Shield feud, but where they're doing it properly. Not that they didn't do the Shield feud properly, but where you're not having Dean and Seth get caught up in the petty BS, and you have Roman just to sort of take the step back because technically Roman was the one that got hit first, but they saved Roman for later, and then it never really happened because the two of them kept getting hurt. You just went ahead and went for it. And the connection's so personal that you're doing stuff like this, where we're going to gyms, or we're waiting for each other outside of work, or we're doing this and we're doing that, because it's like, you know what? I just really want to beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wait for Wednesday nights to beat you up. I want to beat you up, like, right now. And that's what they're doing. And it's really, really great. And I love everything about it, so I appreciate it. Like I said, William Regal didn't like it, and he made a match for the two at the NXT pay-per-view.
A taker. We'll get to that. We'll get there.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know if you would just want to do the whole
thing. No, we'll get there.
But you had Kyle and Adam show up with security. Not for them. To protect them. To stop them from trying to murder each other.
Yes. All right. Bronson Reed surprisingly beat LA Knight.
Yeah. It was an interesting choice. I mean, it's not a bad choice. It's just an interesting one because you would think that they would be pushing LA Knight pretty hard, but they're also trying to push Bronson Reed. So it's like, well, who are you trying to get over more, you know?
That's a good question. Last week in the Blame Brunch, we announced that Danny Burch was injured. Separated shoulder. He's going to be out a while, which means they needed to vacate the NXT Tag Team titles, which they have, and it'll be the grizzled young veterans like Legado del Fantasma and MSK challenging for them in a triple threat match. At Stand and Deliver.
I'm okay with this. I mean, it's very, very sad that they had to vacate the titles, but it makes complete sense that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that they're going to go ahead and just fill them and replace them and not try to carry it on and see how it's going to go. Like, they know it's going to be 6 months, so we might as well make it 6 months.
Yeah. His partner, Oney Lorcan, took on Karrion Kross, lost. Solid match.
Can we talk about the storytelling in this match?
Go ahead.
And the taunting of Kross to Lorcan. Like, there is some really, really good taunting and just Karrion being like, you're never going to measure up. You're never going to avenge him. look at you, you're failing, look at how, you know, awful you are, how weak you are, while, you know, Carrion's trying to dominate him. And then, of course, that leads to Oni trying to fight back, which makes Carrion want to fight more. I mean, I really liked how they did this. It was well done.
So afterwards, Carrion was addressing Finn Balor and talked about giving him respect to a man who didn't deserve it. He said, Balor's neck is in his hands felt like anyone else's. This brought up Finn. Finn said that Cross took his best shot last week and the Prince is still standing. Balor said that Cross showed Cross's weakness. Balor said when a man's young, he fights with emotion, uncontrollable emotion. He said some people call it demons, but just emotions. Balor said he had to control his emotions, which made him unstoppable. Balor said Cross still fights with emotion, which makes him sloppy and vulnerable. Balor said he's going to push Cross to the point where he has two options that take over. Cross surprises everyone by controlling his emotions, or Cross emotions will end up mastering Cross. Balor said that when those emotions take hold, he's dragging Cross to the cold and deep water, and he will drown Cross in that water.
This was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because Finn's like, "Find your weakness. I know what it is." I know we're all shocked, right?
Yeah.
That right. Scarlet would be his Karrion Kross's weakness, but she is.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, if anything happens to her, and it's not like weakness in necessarily like he's incapacitated. If anything happens to her, that's not the case. It's that he flies out of control.
Right.
Because she's the one that kind of keeps him calm, keeps him in check, keeps him focused. And then when anything happens to her, he loses that focus. And then everything, the emotions, take over.
Mm-hmm.
So now Scarlet is officially a target for Finn Balor because, well, that's how you get Carrion to lose his shit.
Pretty much.
So it will be interesting to see what they do going forward. But this was great. This was phenomenal. I love this.
So William Regal had announced that we need a number one contender for Johnny Gargano, and there's a lot of people who deserve a shot.
Before you go there, I just want to say that this was pre-taped before the Kyle and Adam bullshit. You can tell because he was in a really good mood. Anyway, continue. He was like chipper and smiling and shit.
He announced a gauntlet eliminator battle royal to determine the number one contender. So it's a battle royal, then the top six people move on to an elimination match on night one of TakeOver, and the winner of that fights Johnny night two.
And one of them is Austin Theory.
Yeah. Johnny wasn't very happy about it, and he's like, "How am I supposed to, you know, study all these people? I only have 24 hours to know my opponent. I'm Johnny Takeover." Regal was like, "Study all of them. That's like a million guys."
And one of them happens to be Mr. Moneybags, Cameron Grimes.
Dexter Lumis is also involved.
Oh, I hope it comes down to Dexter. I really do. It probably will, but I really hope so.
Well, we'll talk about more next week.
Yes.
Walter Slaughter, Drake Maverick.
Okay, this was just completely unfair. I know the point of it was to make Walter look like a beast. But do we really need that? I think we all already accept that you just look at Walter and you know he's just going to beat the shit out of somebody. Like, you don't need to have him demonstrate that, right? It's like every movie trope, "Oh, you haven't met Walter." And the hero's always like, "Walter, I could take Walter." And Walter's sitting at the bar, and then Walter gets up in all his thick glory, and he's like, you want to bet?" And then, you know, he towers over somebody and is like, "Yeah, no, I have made very bad life choices." So the fact that they put him up against Drake Maverick, it's like, I get it. It was to make him look like an absolute beast and set up what's going to happen after. But I mean, if you're going to do that, if you're going to feed him people, give him at least two, especially if it's Drake. Like, poor Drake.
Well, Drake stumbled into the wrong locker room looking for his partner.
I know that, but if you're going to, it's like, it just was so one-sided. You knew it was going to be one-sided because you look at Drake in comparison to Walter and it's like, oh, this isn't even fair. Like, you're just sending Drake Maverick out to die, which is, I'm pretty sure, not what he rallied up for, to be like, basically Walter's, like, just punching bag.
So old man Ciampa came out.
Why is he growing his hair out?
I don't know. He once mentioned that Walter intrigued him, but he said he most spoke and that the UK title intrigues him. Ciampa then challenged Walter to a match at Stand and Deliver for the UK Championship. Ciampa went attacked, but was attacked by Marcel and Lechner. Walter ripped off Ciampa's necklace and then laid in with a big chop and said, "I'll see you at TakeOver."
Which looked like it
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
That was a solid slap to the titties, I'm not going to lie.
We had Robert Stone and Aaliyah trying to convince Mercedes to team up, and, you know, money talks. Money talks. As it was Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart taking on Mercedes and Aaliyah for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles.
Mercedes Martinez, the smartest person in WWE, because she got the F out of Retribution.
Yep.
I think that worked out for her.
She did not become tag team champions on this night, as Ember and Shotzi retained.
It was a good match. It was a solid match. It looks like they might put her back with Robert Stone. We'll have to see. I mean, and by her, I mean Mercedes. But yeah, I mean, it was good. It was solid. I still maintain they did Dakota and Raquel a little dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have had them lost the titles a week after and it would have been fine, but yeah, I'm digging Shotzi and Ember as tag team champions.
Cameron Grimes approached Roderick Strong in the locker room. Grimes said the Undisputed Era has done so much for the business that would be ashamed to end like this. Grimes says that he wants to buy the intellectual property of Undisputed Era. And as he goes to say, to the moon, he was clocked by Roderick Strong. And he screamed, that's not how you do business, Roddy.
Cameron, honey, one, feel the room. Two, it belongs to WWE. You can't buy it from Roddy. He can't sell it to you, regardless.
Indy and Candice confronted Shotzi and Ember. Looks like we're headed to a tag match between them.
Speaking of Indy, I love it now because Dexter Lumis posted out like a promo shot of himself on Instagram, and people were tagging Indy Hartwell. Like, people are buying into her being so thirsty over him. I love it so much. Like, he puts that out there at Indy Hartwell. At Indy Hartwell is like, well done, y'all. Well done. Well played. But yeah, the confrontation was fine. But yeah, Indy's thirst knows no bounds.
We had Jordan Devlin beat Kushida in a solid match. But this is where things got interesting. So we had Kushida, who took out Mendoza and Wild. And then Santos Escobar got in the ring with Jordan Devlin. Then Shawn Michaels' music plays. The old cowboy himself just struts to the ring, pulls a ladder out from underneath, and slides in between both men and goes, here.
Look, you settle this like gentlemen. Here's the ladder.
Here's the ladder. And then yeah, as he walked to the back, he eyed up Adam Cole.
No. He eyed up his son. He eyed up his son, gave him an approving smile that his other father probably would too if he wasn't corporate, and walked off. Because Sean is very proud of his and Hunter's son. That's what happened. It's the old, you really shouldn't be doing it like this, but I completely approve of how you're doing this, so keep going.
So now we talk about the main event segment. The contract signed between William Regal and Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
And the 40 security guards.
Mm-hmm. William Regal was already upset at the beginning. They got the cops involved, so he doesn't like that. He said NXT isn't liable for what happens at Stand and Deliver, and that this match will be the co-main event of Night 2 of Stand and Deliver. Adam Cole took his turn to talk. Said he had a revelation he didn't need Undisputed Era anymore. He said Undisputed Era was holding him back, and Kyle O'Reilly showed him that. He said Cole said he was actually buying into this BS about being a brotherhood. He said he had to see Kyle fail twice. When he went after the NXT Championship, Cole said O'Reilly then went on to try to befriend Finn Balor and recruit him into Undisputed Era. Cole said he realized that O'Reilly was happy being a lapdog, and Cole's nothing like that. He's not one to sit on the sidelines. He said Kyle lost sight of what this is all about. Cole said Kyle should be thanking Cole because O'Reilly wouldn't have made it to WWE without Adam Cole. Cole said he's the one who main evented, led the charge, sold the merchandise, and Kyle did nothing. Cole said everyone knows who will win at Stand and Deliver already, and the only person who doesn't know that answer is the lapdog sitting across from Adam Cole right now. Adam Cole signed a contract. Kyle's like, he and Cole didn't care who they stepped on to succeed. He said they were pit bulls. He said he understands that they will always have heat with the locker room and the management. He said ever since Undisputed Era came to WWE, all they did become were better fighters, champions, and stars. Kyle said Adam Cole's the same asshole who stepped foot in NXT a few years ago. He said if anyone thinks he and Cole could be cool again, they are mistaken. He said that he sold his soul to Undisputed Era, and now he's looking to get it back. Kyle said Cole is a conceited prick who uses friends to get ahead. Kyle's not a single person is going to be surprised when Kyle O'Reilly beats Adam Cole into a pulp. Kyle said for the first time in 4 years, after the win, Kyle will sleep like a baby. Adam Cole said that Kyle is signing a death warrant. Both sign a contract, and then they have to be held back. Afterwards, online, Adam punched Regal.
Which you really shouldn't do, because he's going to murder you now. Also, I forgot to mention earlier about William Regal. The best part of his little announcement was the brass knucks were right in the forefront of the picture.
Well, yeah.
Or of the video.
They sit in his office.
Oh, I know they do, but the fact that he made sure they were on camera. Like, he arranged his desk like a Zoom call to, like, show off his brass knucks. Like, do you see these? Do you see these right here? Aren't they so cool? Like, the subtlety of the warning is just great. But yeah, this whole thing was wonderful, because it's William Regal and he's like, I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of you two trying to kill each other. If you want to murder each other, that's fine. I just don't want to be liable for it. So tell you what we're going to do. I talked to Hunter and he's okay with you two murdering each other too. You just gotta sign this waiver that basically says we have no legal liability over whatever the hell you two do to each other. Beyond that, just show up at Stand and Deliver, kill each other, you're fine. Like, I just love this, because Regal's like, you got the cops involved. Which, honestly, for WWE, if you think about their consequences, and just consequences in wrestling in general, for them to involve the police, like, that's a big deal. Because normally, for WWE, you have all these fights breaking out, you have people beating each other up, you have people trying to kill each other, and the police never get involved. Like, there is no consequence of somebody getting arrested. Mm-hmm. Like, so when they do bring in the cops, and they do actually arrest people, it's like, oh shit, okay, alright, it just got real, because, like, charges are gonna get pressed now. Because it's like, normally in WWE, it's like, if you hit somebody, you don't call the cops, and you don't get arrested, and you don't get sued for things, and you don't get battery charges or whatever. You have a match, and you fight about it. That's what you do, right? That's what happens in wrestling in general. So the fact that Kyle tried to kill each other, and the cops got involved, Regal's like, God damn it, are you trying to blow the whole, like, secret thing we have going on here? They don't know! Even though it's completely public, and it's on TV every week. It's like, the cops don't know. Or they just let us do it. You guys are messing everything up. Stop it.
Just don't take it to the streets. Everything's fine.
Yeah, just don't take it outside the building. It's fine. Like, you two can fight each other all you want. Just don't do it outside the building. First rule of Fight Club. You do not talk about Fight Club. Same principle.
Yep.
You just don't do it. But yeah, I loved everything about this. I loved how done William Regal is with all of this. Because he's just like these goddamn kids that Hunter keeps making me watch and deal with every single week. Why do I put up with this? Right, because they pay me. But yeah, I loved everything about this. Kyle's and Adam's promos were super on point. They were just what it needed, because you need to have those levels of harsh words. You need to have that intensity there. Like, it's all there. It's all wonderful. It's all perfect. Like, this is just, you're ready to see them kill each other. We have to wait 2 more weeks, but we are ready to see them kill each other on night 2, which means we get to come on the air and scream about it.
Ding! Yay.
And on that note, we are going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WWE Fastlane, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt's return. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham. Sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried to break them up.
No, it's not her fault, okay?
It is her, totally
if
her
he,
fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't knew anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the greater than great debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did let him know her feelings. She didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more greater than great debates. Saturday nights, midnightish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gore, of course, too. Yes! Yes, it happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check it out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to be on Twitch and have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you will be able to subscribe. It's really that simple. If you want to follow the channel too, you are welcome to do that on that same button, or you can just hang out and chat. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. And well, we're done with the news. We're done with the NXT. That means Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Okay, I need to say something before we do Tweet of the Week. Because we're having storms here in the South. It's spring. It happens. And they're showing all the video from Alabama where the storms hit. And thoughts and prayers to everybody affected and impacted. It's been a very, very rough day in Alabama in terms of tornadoes. But the video that I'm seeing right now, y'all, if you're in your car and you get caught in a tornadic situation, please don't stay in your car. Please don't take video of it. Get in a ditch. Please, it's so dangerous. And don't chase tornadoes either. They don't play nice, and they can be unpredictable, and they can hop. But yeah, just be safe out there, guys. Just don't do anything insane or stupid. or gets caught in a tornado, like what I'm seeing right now, which is crazy. I hope those people are okay, because that's very scary what I'm seeing. So anyway, on a lighter note, tweet of the week.
Oh, hold on.
All right, McIntyre. How it started almost 20 years ago. Tomorrow, no holds barred at WWE Fastlane is how it will end. See you soon, brother. And it's a picture of a young Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. And Sheamus replies, when Keira Knightley photobombs you. And Drew responds, yeah, you're much older than me. And I used to look like I was in a boy band. You haven't changed a bit. The villagers still chase you with pitchforks. And then somebody, like a bunch of people replied with 3MB gifts, which was perfect. So in reaction to Kane going into the Hall of Fame, Kayla Braxton tweeted, one of my fave WWE bumps moments ever. Congrats to Kane and thanks Undertaker for helping us make this moment happen. All the feels. When it's Taker's turn, can we call them the Brothers of Induction?
Really?
She really went for it.
Really?
She went for it, man. I'm proud of her. I'm very, very, very proud of her. Cypher PK. Hey man, you missed my 36-month resub at Nick Merckx. I resubbed while you were offline, but maybe you can make it up to me some way. Maybe some free MFAM merch or some personalized feet pics.
Ew.
That's kind of the gift or the picture that he replied with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ew. So that's all I have.
Okay. Alexia Ray tweets out a couple pictures of herself and goes, can we ignore the duct tape on the wall? Thank you. Twitch, but why? The tape is the height of the home decor, and it fixes everything. Alexia, right? It was holding curtains. Crying emoji. Twitch.
You know.
Replied F.
They make this thing called a curtain rod that you can install on your wall, and you hang curtains from it.
Lindsay.
What?
Who does she live with majority of her time?
I'm just saying have the money. No. They could get one installed.
Who does she live with a majority of the time?
Cloak.
There you go.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could pay somebody. They could go two doors down and get Tom.
Kathy Kelly. My job in college was selling clothes at J. Crew. One time I helped David Schwimmer find pants. He said thanks. I said, of course. That's the end of the story.
Good job.
Kathy Kelly, one time I was waiting in the line for bagels at O'Hare Airport. Behind me in line was then Senator Barack Obama. I said hi. He said hi. My mom said, Kathy, do you want a picture? I said no, because I was very focused on getting my toasted bagel with plain cream cheese.
Look, a girl has goals, okay?
And finally, someone named Eddie goes, I don't like KO that much as a wrestler, but as a person, you seem really nice. Kevin Owens, that's okay, buddy. I don't like you as a wrestler either. Thank you. That's all I got.
Kevin! So now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are going to discuss Fastlane.
So where do you want to start?
The beginning, because I want to save the end for the end, if that makes sense.
Well, he wasn't the end. So you want to save him for the end, though?
I want to save him for the end, because he's going to require the most discussion.
Okay. In the
Because honestly, he was one of the most compelling things on this show.
This show is full of shitty finishes. Matt Riddle defeated Mustafa Ali on the kickoff show, which then saw the members of Retribution walk out on Mustafa, including being chokeslammed by Dio and who's the other one? Dominic.
Dominic, T-Bar.
T-Bar and Mace. Slapjack just walked out. So did Reckoning.
Reckoning was the first to walk out, then Slapjack left, then the other two beat up Mustafa, and they left. So blame me, I broke up Retribution. I mean, honestly, I think we knew this was a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really doing anything with them. They weren't, like, basically all interest in them had more or less died a long time ago, because they started this, and they started it really, really hot, and it was really interesting, and then they just went to a really weird, confusing place with it, and then they never really followed through on anything on it, so it just was not interesting. So yeah, it's time to break them up, to move them on, move Mia Yim, please make her Mia Yim again, into the women's division, move on Slapjack. I'm okay with Dio and Dominic being a tag team. Honestly, if you let Dominic be half as sassy as what he is on Twitter, I think we got something.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm sad that it broke up. I'm sad that it did not work out for any of them the way that they hoped it would work out. Because I think they all expected big things from this. But at the same time, the second they showed up with those masks, it's like, oh, this went to a weird place.
This was handled badly from the beginning.
Yeah. Like, it was really cool that they were disrupting stuff and throwing Molotov cocktails. Like, how many times do you get to do that in your life? So I'm sure whoever got to do that had a really fun day at work. But yeah, this just...
But that went, that stuff even went nowhere. It all went nowhere.
I mean, again, hindsight is always 20/20, but like, I feel like you could have used different people other than NXT stars, and it's nothing wrong with the people that they picked. It's just the whole point of it is that it's disgruntled superstars, right? It's disgruntled people who have been wronged by WWE, and there were a couple in there that, yes, absolutely they have been, but not really, especially when you have main roster talents sitting in the back who are equally as wronged.
And you took too long to get to Ali as your leader.
Yeah, they were just sort of like, there was somebody driving it, we never figured out who it was, and Mustafa could have been a really, really good engaging leader, and he was for what we saw of him, but it's just, like you said, it took too long.
It took way too long to get there.
Yeah, so rip Retribution.
We won't miss you.
No. Please get rid of the mask. Keep the leather pants, but get rid of the masks.
Our opening contest on the main show featured the women's tag team titles on the line. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, and Reginald's flips.
I mean, I have a tremendous respect for Reginald, because in one sense, he understands that Nia's being a sugar mama and she's taking care of him. And so he's going to do whatever he wants, right, to make her happy. Because he wants to make sure that he keeps getting the good life. Because that's the story that they're telling.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Reginald is using Nia Jax, he's using her feelings to basically keep his place. Because it's like, well, if you're willing to buy me suits and, you know, carry me around, and all I have to do in return for attention and money and everything else is flips, okay, all right, I'll do that. Because we all know where this is going. He never really loved her. He's just using her, right? But in some ways, it doesn't sit right with me, because it's like, well, but he's more than this. Like, it feels sexist. And if it were a woman and a man, it would feel sexist. Because it's like, he's his own person. I'm not a fan of it. I don't really like it. Like, it's one thing if he were, like, helping them. Like, if he were with them and he were helping them. But it's just straight up, she's just a sugar mama. That's what she is. And Shane is just along for the ride as an awkward third reel. It's just very strange.
Ah, we had a distraction finish. and Shayna and I got the win afterwards. Sasha and Bianca, well, got into it. Sasha told Bianca it was all her fault. Bianca was trying to defend herself, and then Sasha slapped her right across the face. And then Bianca was pointing up and saying, alright, we got this. We're going to go on WrestleMania. Sasha's like, okay, whatever. Looks like Sasha's going heel. The match itself was fine. It was much better than the last month match.
Yeah, and I think, again, we all saw where this was going. This was the setup for Sasha and Bianca to take him to Mania. And the match was fine. I think we all knew that they weren't going to win, so...
We'll have further development Friday from SmackDown.
Yeah.
Big E and Apollo Crews for the IC title. I don't know.
50-50 booking!
It's not even 50-50 booking. It was a terrible finish.
I think somebody messed up the finish. Although, I don't know, because I think that was actually the planned finish. You had Big E retain over Apollo in a very convoluted way.
It was the planned finish. It was just sloppily done.
And then you had Apollo beat up Big E afterwards and stand tall over Big E, even though he just got beat. Like, it was a quandary for them. Because it's like you're pushing Apollo as a brand new heel. You're pushing Big E to the moon as a face. He's your champion. You're setting him up potentially for a title run later in the year with the main title. So you can't have him lose here. So and we talked about it in the preview. It's an awkward quandary for them. But this was not good.
I mean, Big E looked really good at the start. He just started suplexing the crap out of Apollo. And then splashing him across the side of the ring. Big E looked great. Then Apollo started making a comeback, and then it went to the finish. And I was like, oh, awkwardly too. It's like, not the biggest fan of the finish. How it was executed. But we're going to continue on. The feud must go on. So Big E's beat Apollo 3 times now.
And hopefully we move on from there. And we allow Apollo to shine with the new gimmick, and we allow Big E to shine with what he's doing. Or continue to shine, I should say. Because he has been shining very, very brightly.
He has, as Intercontinental Champion. So, the first of a series of commercials that are going to be airing over the next few weeks aired on the network, on Peacock, for Old Spice. The Old Spice Joseph Average, I believe they called him. R-Truth lost the championship to Joseph Average and then regained it. Promotional ad with Joseph Average.
Gotta pay them bills.
Also, Kira Tozawa was involved.
Look, they're gonna get free deodorant out of the deal, so I'm pretty sure everybody's okay with it.
So Shane McMahon was walking backstage and Elias was trying to pitch him at WrestleMania. Not performing. And Shane then brought him to the ring with him, and we learned earlier in the day Shane suffered an injury while working out. So Elias thought he was coming out to perform and said, Shane's like, nope, you're taking my place and you're gonna fight Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman then murdered Elias.
They tried so hard to cancel this match. All week they tried.
They took it off their website, which is why we didn't preview it.
There were rumors it was canceled. There were rumors that it was going ahead. I don't think anybody's really a fan of it because essentially you're making fun of Braun for his intellect, which honestly in 2021 is not necessarily the best storyline to do because you're essentially implying that Braun is slow and therefore stupid. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it anyway.
Yep.
So it's just slightly cringy. But they tried to cancel the match, and it was off, it was on, it was off, it was on, and they finally said it was on, and we're like, oh god. And then they're like, you know, the night of the show, right, on the pay-per-view, oh, Shane McMahon got hurt. It's like, y'all just could have, like, done this from the start, and it would have been fine. Like, you could have had Shane be like, yeah, you know what, really don't want to fight you, really not interested in fighting you, so I'm gonna have my boy do it. I'm gonna have Elias do it, and I'm gonna have Elias die for my sins. And then we watch Elias die for his sins. Like, there's just, I don't know. This is so cringy. They're doing very cringy things right now. Match was fine. Strowman looked like a beast, but I don't like the storyline at all.
Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura had a really good match.
This was fantastic.
First, we need to talk about the drip.
The internet loves the drip.
Seth Rollins drip, trending worldwide.
Which could be taken so many different ways.
I mean, a long time ago. Never mind. We're not going to go there.
Once upon a time, it could be meaning something else, but it doesn't.
I enjoyed this match.
I thought it was good. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. I mean, I thought this was very, very entertaining. I like what Seth's doing. I like how he balances against Shinsuke. Shinsuke's back face, which, no offense to Shinsuke, I think is a better move for him because they could never quite get the heel run off the ground. So
they never gave him the championship. They kept it on AJ.
Yeah, they should have given Shinsuke the title, and they didn't do it. So hopefully they can get him back to the title before he's done. But, yeah, no, I like this match. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very entertaining. I should probably also disclaimer this. I should have done it at the top of the preview, but I'm going to disclaimer this now. I got really loaded during this pay-per-view.
She did.
Intentionally.
She did.
So I had to go back and watch parts of it, because there were parts of it I don't remember, or I didn't remember, but I should probably, like, disclaimer this by saying a lot of my initial impressions, which I kept from the pay-per-view, are because I was really wasted, especially at the end.
Seth Rollins won, by the way. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus beat the hell out of each other in a no-holds-barred match.
This was, I mean, you wouldn't expect it to be anything less than what it was. Like, they just went for it, and they beat the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed technology screens, which you're like, y'all, that's expensive. But they did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was good. I like this. I like this a lot. It's exactly what it needed to be.
Drew McIntyre.
Sheamus is back afterwards, though. Jesus.
Yeah. Drew got the win. Yeah, they beat the hell out of each other. Sheamus took a beating for all everyone's sins and his own sins. And yeah, good stuff. Don't need to see it again for a while.
Yeah. And Sheamus looks like he's back to being a face, so I'm sure at some point he and Drew will kiss and make up.
Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Universal Championship. Edge was your special enforcer. We all knew nothing mattered in this match until Edge had to get involved, because there was a ref bump. So, and it was a very convenient ref bump, because the referee was standing right there the entire time, waiting to be speared.
Yeah, y'all could have made that a little bit less obvious.
So Edge then becomes the referee in charge. Things were going well, until Edge got hit with a chair. And then Roman got put in the yes lock, and he starts tapping out. So there was that. Oh, we should also mention Jey Uso got involved as well.
Shocker.
I know, right? So he's Reigns is tapping out, and Edge then snaps and hits both of them with a chair and leaves, screaming, "This is mine! Mine!" A new referee comes out. Reigns crawled on top of Bryan and got the win.
I mean, I will say it was a creative finish. I mean, we all knew Edge was going to get involved. We all knew the Uso was going to get involved. So I'm not surprised by this. And essentially what they're doing is they're setting up the three-way between Bryan and Edge and Roman for the title at Mania, because I'm sure it will get announced tomorrow or the week before, like the week of Mania. That'll be like the final, that somehow Bryan basically goes to Adam Pearce and is like, Edge didn't do his job. I got screwed. I want a rematch, and I want it at WrestleMania, or they give it to Bryan based on the fact that Edge again did not do his job. So, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that's what happens. But yeah, I mean, I thought the match was good. I thought it was, they never quite hit third gear on it.
No,
because they were waiting for Edge.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. That was the whole back half of the match hinged on the ref bump and then Edge getting involved, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I thought the finish was really good. I thought the end of the match was really good. But it's just, it was a little slow in the beginning because it all centered around that ref bump, and then the way that they did the ref bump, where you had him just really awkwardly standing behind Bryan, waiting for the spear with Bryan, was just really just, they broadcast that really hard. And it's like, come on. Just, you can at least like step into it a little bit. So,
Roman retains for now.
For now, we'll see. Yeah, I think the only person who didn't get involved was Heyman.
So, I'm just gonna bail out and let you go.
All right, the Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, Randy Orton experience. There was a match.
Technically, it was Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss
fighting each other for Alexa to get out of Randy's life. So Alexa came out to the busted music of the Firefly music. Randy came out, and Randy proceeded to be taunted by Alexa. She led him out of the ring, you know, first thing right in the ring when they're getting ready to start the match. She shoots fire up in his face, laughs. She gets out of the ring. He's following her around the ring. She drops lights on him. We should also note that Randy puked up the black stuff before Alexa came out.
Mm-hmm. Also, when the lights fell, the sky is falling. Randy, look out, the sky is falling.
Yeah, and she kept, like, looking up, and then she'd, like, laughing, and then she'd get really serious, and something would happen. And all of this leads up to them getting back in the ring.
She's taunting him as she leans on the rope.
Like, come on, Randy, come on, get back in the ring. And then she climbs up on the turnbuckle, and Randy's eyeing her up. And she's laughing and she's giggling. And we should also note this had special lighting for it. And, you know, Randy's kind of suspicious. He's not sure what's going on. And then all of a sudden there's a rip in the ring.
Hold on. Before that, no, she blew the kiss.
Yeah, she blew the kiss.
Threw another fireball. And then the yeah, got him. Kick. Woo. Yeah.
She's so excited.
That was so awesome.
And then as Randy's recovering, there's a rip,
mm-hmm,
in the ring. Smoke and eerie glow is coming up from under the ring. The depths of hell, that hole to hell under the ring, has opened. And emerging from it is a burned, charred hand with the black, I believe it's the Hurt Glove, but I couldn't tell which one, but it's the hand of the fiend. He has returned from the depths of hell, his flesh scarred and charred and melted and burned. And he emerges and he grabs hold of Randy, and Randy's like, wait, what the hell? And Randy, you know, wrenches his foot free, jumps back, and then Bray Wyatt, the fiend, emerges from the depths of hell.
From the depths of hell.
Looking like a satanic s'more, and he proceeds to get up out of his hole. He Sister Abigail's Randy Orton. Alexa Bliss jumps on top of Randy, rides him to a victory. 1, 2, 3, your winner, Alexa Bliss, and standing behind her is her fiend. So Bray Wyatt finally makes his return to WWE. So first,
Alexa kicked Randy into Bray.
Yeah, that's right. It's a better story if he just, like, murders him.
I know, but I'm just giving all the details.
So I like this whole part of it. I liked how they did it. I liked how they reintroduced the fiend. I think you and I both made the comment that the one thing that I wish they had done, and the reason why they couldn't do it, was because of TV and the way that they have to shoot things now, is that you didn't have Bray come up in the same place that he burned. It came up on the opposite side of the ring, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just one of those little touches that they sort of were not able to do. But speaking of touches, I want to talk about the fiend costume. We talked about it a little bit on Monday night, but I want to talk about it more here because we have the time and we can go in depth. Only Bray Wyatt, the extra bitch that he is, would get prosthetics made for his arms that would make his flesh look burnt. Any other person in that company, probably in the industry, would just have worn long sleeves and black gloves, and that would have been it. Right? You never would see their skin. Even with Kane, when he was burned, he had the double sleeve costume. It was long sleeves, gloves, and I think you could maybe say hand. But that was it, right? Bray Wyatt, no. He has up to his elbows prosthetic skin that literally looks melted and burned. And then whoever came up with this touch, I love you so much. They actually took the Hurt heel gloves that were on his hands at the time of the fire, in quotations, and they had him look like they were melted into his skin. Like they had survived the fire, because I think they're technically supposed to be leather gloves, even though they're pleather, and that they had survived the fire and were now melted into his flesh to where he could not take them off. My God. Just whoever thought of that. Chef's kiss. Well done. The costume itself has changed. The red and black pants are no more. Praise be the holy tomato. He's now in like black pants with like some weird snakeskin vest burn thing going on in the front. And then he just has like a black top on top. You cannot see any of his natural skin. It is all covered by either clothing or from the mask prosthetic pieces, because like his entire neck is covered with a prosthetic, like the mask essentially covers his entire head and his neck down to like his collarbones. Like his entire head is covered. So that's why I keep jokingly saying that they could literally put anybody in the Fiend costume that they wanted to, because all of the natural parts are covered. You just got to pad the person up to look like Bray Wyatt underneath and you're fine. But the flesh itself, the mask itself. Okay, hold on. We're going to segue. I didn't mind the striped pants, except that they did not do nice things for him. He did a black and red vertical stripe. And the boy, I'm just going to say it, the boy does not have an ass. And so it did not do nice things for his butt. It made his butt look really, really small and really, really awkward. And he's built big on top, and then he's kind of got those skinny little hips, and he's got those long legs where the top is thicker than the bottom. So it just made him look really just not proportionate. And that's why I didn't like the pants. Otherwise, the look itself, like the whole entire look was fine, but like it was actually really cool. But just those pants in particular, I really did not like those pants. I'm very happy that they're gone. He's worn better pants. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, the mask, the Fiend mask is melted into his face. What would be his face. Again, this is just a beautiful touch, because if you look at it, you can actually see where, like, his natural skin would be and how it's burned and disfigured. And then you can see where the Fiend mask was at the time of the fire and how it's now melted into his flesh, where, like, it's melted all over his face and his neck. And essentially what it looks like is that the man, Bray Wyatt, is now melted and trapped in this fiendish persona, where it's now all Fiend, no Bray. He also cut his hair and he got rid of the dreadlocks, thank God. Although I hope it's like a good style. It looked better Monday night because he had it wet. And I don't know, maybe I'd have to go back and look at it between Sunday and Monday if they took the dreads out Sunday and Monday, or if he had them out on Sunday. But I think they made his hair easier for him to wear in public, because you know, you don't want to be walking around with weird hair in public. But yeah, the whole presentation, the whole look from top to bottom. It was a little weird Monday and Sunday because it was weird lighting and there's a lot of red in it, and you lose the detail in the red lighting. Once you see the actual promo picture from where they made like the Mania shot, it looks so sick. Like it's so freaky looking in, you know, in natural light. I don't mind it. It's actually a little scary, which is good. But I want to see where it goes. I hope that Bray himself is not trapped in this monster gimmick and we just never get to see his face ever again, because that would make me really, really sad. And I hope that they let him speak at some point, because if you take his mic away, I feel like that is a mistake. Like it's cool that you're going to have Alexa manage him, but I would hope at some point that you do have Bray Wyatt speak, because he is one of your best talkers, if not the best that they have right now. So maybe give him a mic back. I don't know, but what were your thoughts on it?
I liked it.
I thought they handled it. I thought Alexa Bliss on Sunday really sold it. Her over-the-top reactions were great. So great that they pissed off Randy's wife.
It's all fictional. It's fine.
To the point where she had to crop herself out of the photo where she's not... She never actually straddled that area. She was up on his chest and just the angle... Anyway.
She was very respectful of Randy's areas.
She was. But I thought Alexa was really good. They could do a story where he has to... He frees himself from the fiend, I guess is a good way to put it.
I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. I think I'm with you because we've talked about this privately that at some point they're going to do it post-Mania where you go with the fiend next. We've only seen him twice. We don't know if there is a second persona with him or not. I'm assuming there's not, but you never know with him. Just because of how the fiend is being presented and how he looks. Where he's literally trapped in the mask and the gloves. They're burned into his skin. Like, that was the one thing with the fiend was, essentially the fiend is an alternate personality of Bray Wyatt's that is the monstrous, vengeful, murderous individual. And he takes the mask and the gloves and everything off and on. That's what he does. And that's how he transforms into the fiend, supposedly. And then, my goodness, it's rumbly. And then on the flip side, he changes into the kid show host and he runs around in his little sweater and his chinos, which if the chinos go, I'd be okay with that. He actually had a really good pair of jeans that he could wear again. Anyway, I don't know why I'm obsessed with his pants, but I'm really obsessed with his pants.
You've been obsessed with his pants for 7 years.
Well, I mean, he has interesting pants. It was like it started with like the ripped up, like, put together pants that he had as the Wyatt leader that I affectionately call his slut pants. Actually, no, I take that back. It started with the stripy pants that he wore against Taker at Mania. Then it went to the slut pants, the informal slut pants, and now we're here.
Like I said, it's been a while.
They have names and everything. They're titled. But yeah, so I'm curious to see what they do with him coming out of Mania and what will happen with him and Randy, because I'm assuming him and Randy are doing a Firefly Funhouse match. I have no idea what they're doing, or if you could even call it a Firefly Funhouse match, because at this point the Funhouse I think is dead.
I think they might just be having a straight up fight.
Which, if they do that, that's fine. I will say, Bray Wyatt, you ho, on Twitter this week, because the boy's taken a Twitter absence since December, because kayfabe, he's supposed to be dead, therefore.
No Twitter.
No Twitter, no Instagram, no nothing. He's just been off social media, which I'm sure has been good for him. Or he hasn't been responding on social media. At least on his WWE account. He might have a private account. He put out pictures of what I would term is the original sin. And I've been really hoping that they were going to go there and they were going to do this with it. And the fact that he did reference it makes me so happy. Because if you don't know what I'm talking about, the quote-unquote original sin between Bray and Randy is the punt to the head to one Husky Harris at the end of the NXT New Nexus storyline, where essentially Husky and Mike McKillicuddy are sacrificed to Randy Orton and Legacy, and Randy unceremoniously sent Husky back to FCW with a punt to the head that resulted in Bray Wyatt being born. They've never fully ever tied back to it. You've had Bray allude to it when he was the Swamp Leader. And then in the Funhouse, you had Huskus the Pig Boy, who was a direct reference to Husky Harris and that persona and that time in his life. But they've never, like, fully tied it back prior to Bray sending that.
Cena did mention Husky at the Funhouse match last year.
Yeah, Cena brought it up. But again, he's never done it. Like, I think the last time he referenced it was somebody asked him what happened to Husky Harris like years ago on Twitter, and Bray responded with, you know, he needed something and I needed a vessel.
Mm-hmm. Something to that effect, yeah.
Something to that effect, that basically Bray Wyatt took over Husky Harris. And CM Punk had to get in on the act because Punk was like responded and he's like, I hope, you know, we could have bygones over that whole whipping incident that, you know, happened. And he tweeted out a picture of him with Husky, you know, and the whipping incident where basically CM Punk beat Husky Harris publicly with a belt, which I'm sitting here and I'm like, he was into it. It's fine. he's a kinky bastard. We know. It's all kosher, dude. We know. But yeah, I mean, overall impressions, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for them to get this going. I'm very happy we got to see him on Monday night. I'm curious to see what they do with the character and where they go with it. And to answer the question of who wrote this, it's probably Bray.
Bray, Randy, a collective.
Yeah, Bray and Randy have had a lot of input on this, along with several of the other writers, I'm sure. And I'm sure Vince has had input, but I think it's mainly the two of them that are driving it and telling the story. I should bring back Funhouse Bray, but wrapped up in a lot of bandages and sell the burns. I mean, they could. They absolutely could. We don't know what they're going to do. I'm thinking they're not going to bring back Funhouse Bray just because over time we've seen the personas of Alexa merge into one, where she doesn't do the split persona anymore. The play and pain are the same person. She doesn't switch back and forth. And if you notice, her makeup got a lot darker. So you're having her do both roles. She just goes up and down, switches back and forth. So I think the Fiend is one character, because as the Fiend and Funhouse Bray become one person, so did Alexa. And that's how we saw the change in the Fiend, was through Alexa. You know, obviously not him being a toasted marshmallow, but here we are. Also, I think the little vest thing that he wears is honestly his old leather jacket that he turned into the vest, and that the detail on the front is the burned portion of the jacket that he was wearing. I think. I'm not sure I like it. I'm going to be real. I'm not sure I like the top. I'm going to have to get used to it. Because he's just so covered. It's weird. It's very, very weird. Also, I will say this. When all that makeup does come off, that child is going to be covered in more tattoos. I promise you. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he doesn't have like a full body suit at this point.
I mean, it's only an excuse to get tattoos.
I mean, he's got to be covered. Because he gets them with regular frequency. And
he's had nothing but time.
He has that massive ass chest piece, I'm sure, and the back piece and everything else. So personally, I think it's an excuse for him to shave his head and tattoo his head. And then you never see it. I mean, I would agree with that, LeMans. I want to see if they take his voice away or not. I think for right now, he's not going to have one, because you're going to have him come back and adjust. And so you're going to have Alexa probably manage him through the WrestleMania storyline. But it all depends on what story they tell in the match with Randy. If they do a straight up match, he won't have a voice. If they do what they did with Cena last year, where it's more of a cinematic, you could have him with that voice telling that story. But he's also trying to tell it, I think, through Twitter. It's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, I hope he doesn't lose his voice. I hope they don't have him or like Alexa doing all the talking for him, because no offense to Alexa, she's a wonderful talker. I just think Bray can convey his message so much better. And I hope he's not in the mask like all the time. I miss his face. Like, I don't want to look at that creepy melted face all the time. That was what made the Fiend like kind of like palpable, was like palatable. Sorry, I'm tired. Was it switched back and forth where you saw his face and then you saw the Fiend mask and then it wasn't as bad, but we'll see.
We good?
I think we're good.
8-Ball went 1-3, Wheel went 2-2, you apparently went 5-1, and I went 6-0.
Hey, I call that a win.
Indeed.
So, programming note, there will be no Fortnite with friends tonight. So tune in Saturday for challenges and general stupidity and fun.
Yep.
And you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight, is another edition of SuperStar. SuperLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, it's Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews WWE Superstar Handbook, now available. Available during the week will be the Rack Extra Reviews, the new Dr. Disrespect book. Let's check that out. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
You okay?
It's at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's why we're not having a Fortnite. I'm coughing. Chat. On all your social media platforms. That Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle on the screen. You can also use credit code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag Epic Partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LensWard, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
BaxCrackRadio.com.